let's read from chapter 3 in James. Let's go to verses 13 through 18. 13 through 18. Wisdom from above. Who among you is wise and understanding? I guess no one. Okay. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is earthly, natural. Look at this word, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Now stop here for a moment. Let's think about this for a second. It's talking about all kinds of evilish. Now, I don't know if you can see yourself in this picture we just kind of described. And I know I can see myself in there sometimes. Don't I, Tiffany? I know you can see it in me sometimes too, right? And, you know, it's obvious. But it's obvious on you too, let me just tell you, right? It's obvious that sometimes we act in jealousy or in bitterness or anger that is not controlled well and things like that. And it gets confusing, you know. You get confused. What? You got chaos in your life when you think about all these things. And all these things are based on your me, or, you know, some say the ego, right? Satisfying your ego. So jealousy, selfish, ambition, and things like that, out of order. It says that it's all kind of evil. But let's just go to verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Father, thank you so much for this word. Help us understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, of course, you may not, well, you can see it. It's clear. This talks about relationships because everything it says there, you know, like, have no hypocrisy and have a mercy, gentleness, reason, being reasonable and peaceful. It's talking about relationships. You don't do that just for yourself. You can't have peace just with yourself. You got to have peace with others and with God. You can't be reasonable for yourself only. You got to be reasonable with others. And you can't be a hypocrite to yourself, because sometimes we are. But don't be a hypocrite with other people or God. So it talks about relationships here a lot. You see, and when we talk about wisdom, it's not just knowing stuff, right? You already know that. You know, you could be very intelligent and not be wise at all. You can know a lot and do nothing with that knowledge. You can have all the degrees in the world. Actually, you can have so many degrees they can call you Dr. Fahrenheit, yet not be so wise. Some of you got that. Some of you just said, that wasn't funny, Pastor, right? But it's not about education. It's simply because there's a lot of educated fools out there, aren't there? Now, not in here. But some of you attest that there's some out there. Amen? You probably met one somehow, some way this morning in the mirror or something. I don't know. You may have all kinds of educations, but that doesn't mean that you're, you know, wise. You could be brilliant and intelligent, technically smart, and not be wise. Wisdom is about what you do with all that knowledge that you have. How do you act? It's about behavior. It's about what you do in your relationships with others, how you treat other people, what comes out of your lips. Not only that, but also what you do with what comes out of your lips, right? It's about life. It's about relationships. Now, in verses 14 through 16, you know, it relates to people and the way they are foolish, you know, foolish stuff, and getting selfish and ambition and all that. And then when you go down to verse 18, it talks about, you know, being at peace. Now check it out, verse 18. I didn't read that because I want to leave it for now. Check out verse 18. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You ought to be a peacemaker. A peacemaker. Some of us want to be pacemakers. We want to set the pace and the tone on everything because we want to lead and we want it our way. Well, instead of being a pacemaker, try to be a peacemaker. That works out better most of the time. So you says there that you are planting seeds in your relationships. And guess what? When you plant seeds, what is the purpose? You want to reap, right? You want to harvest. So whatever you plant, you're going to get back. So think about that for a second. How do I plant seeds of peace? What is the answer? What do I do then in relationships? Well, let's talk about some things that you shouldn't do, all right? Now, let's talk about these things. Let's start up with number one. Do not compromise your integrity. Do not compromise your integrity. It says there that wisdom that comes from heaven or from above is, first of all, what? Pure. Pure. We're talking about integrity, that nothing contaminates it. In your relationships, you need to have integrity. The foundation of all good relationships is integrity. If you do not, if you're not honest, if there's anything foul within yourself and your heart, if you're not pure of heart, then we have a problem in our relationships. This means to be uncorrupted, unpolluted, clear, untainted. And what are we talking about? You see, whole. When you talk about, for example, bread. Bread, they call it, you know what, whole wheat, right? When it hasn't been compromised, polluted, mixed, or it hasn't been broken down, right? So that is whole wheat bread, right? In Spanish, we call it integral bread. It hasn't lost its integrity. You see, it's still honest. It's still pure. And that's the same thing in the Greek. When we talk about integrity, we're talking about something that is whole. Nothing is taken from it. Nothing is added to it. So that's the way it's supposed to be. The foundation of all good relationships is definitely integrity. Why is then integrity first on the list? Think about this. Because all relationships are built on what? Trust. You know, I was watching Family Feud the other day. I like watching Family Feud. I don't know if you do. Nobody watches it? Okay, I do. Okay, I do. Regardless or the host, you know, whoever he might be or he is. Because some of them are funny. Some of them, I remember, you know, they've had like three or four of them. But the funny thing is, you know, with the answers that people come from or come about or come up with, right? Some of the questions are a little like, woo, you shouldn't go there. But anyway. I like watching Family Feud. It should be more of a family show than it is anyway. But yeah, that's. But the other day, he was asking, you know, 100 people, what is the foundation of a relationship? And the first thing, love. Ding, love was on there, number two. And of course, you know, when you get the number two, he's going to ask to see if the other person gets the number one. And the person said, trust. Ding, number one. See, people value trust. Trust is in the foundation of every relationship. Why? Because if you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. If you can't trust somebody, do you want a relationship with them? You don't want a relationship with somebody you don't trust. You can love them all you want to, but if you don't trust them, you keep them away from you. Right? I love you over there, all the way up there in New York. Love you, but I don't trust you, right? You think about that. The trust is the base of a relationship. If there's no trust, then you have a big problem. If a guy is lying to his wife, you know, in the relationship, he may be, he doesn't have a true relationship. You think about it. Because relationships are built on trust, and trust is built on truth. And you don't want nothing but the truth in every relationship. Honesty is the bedrock of all relationships. If you can't be honest to each other, you can't relate to each other. You don't want to relate to each other. So you got to be honest. You can't be just saying whatever. Now, anybody know who Leonard Keeler is? Leonard Keeler. He is the inventor of the lie detector. The lie detector. He's a pretty famous guy. We didn't know him, right? But anyway, Dr. Leonard Keeler invented the lie detector. And he said that during his lifetime, he tested over 25,000 people on the lie detector. And then he wrote a book. His conclusion? We all lie. Duh. And it took them 25,000 people to figure that out. Dr. Lerner, killer. I could have told him that. I could have wrote the book myself. We all lie. He said that human beings are fundamentally and by nature dishonest. You lie to God, you lie to other people, and you lie to yourself all the time. In fact, you lie to you more than anybody else. We have the amazing ability to tell ourselves things that aren't true and convince ourselves that they are. You lie to yourself all the time, he said. We can convince ourselves of a lie, too. I believe that. The heart is deceitful. That's why I believe it. Not because Dr. Keeler said it, but because the Bible says it. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else. Your heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Now you may say, no, I'm not like that, Pastor. Oh, yes, you is. Yes, you is. The Bible says so. I believe it. You believe that? We do that. The heart is deceitful. That's the reason why I tell people. I hear people saying this thing, and I'm like, follow your heart. No! Don't follow your heart. Your heart's deceitful. Follow Jesus. His heart. Amen? So be careful. And when people are trying to make decisions, like, just follow your heart. Wow. Follow the word of God. Amen? We could go right there and we could say amen and go home, but we're not. All right? But do not compromise your integrity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, you must stop telling lies. You got to stop. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth to one another, speak truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Do not tell lies to other people. That's the first mark of wisdom. You do not tell lies. If you want to be wise in your relationships, then do not compromise your integrity. See, you don't want to violate yourself like that or other people. Your conscience. You can't compromise your convictions. If you are convicted by Christ, if you're convicted by the word of God, you can't compromise that. You can't, because then you start living a double life. You know, you can't lie to yourself. Don't lie to others. Tell the truth. Live the truth. Because then you'll be able to have better relationships. You can have peace because then your relationships will be based on the truth. Truth brings trust, and trust has and brings peace into your relationship. So remember, the first way to have peace in your relationships is not compromising your integrity and exercising wisdom. Wisdom is pure. Amen? Number two, don't antagonize other people's anger. Some people love that. Have you ever heard anybody say, ooh, I love him when he gets angry. I mess with him. I mess with his mind when he gets angry. I love watching her when she gets angry because she gets all crazy. And I'm like, yeah. Boy, that's evil. Don't do that. Don't antagonize when people are angry. Don't antagonize them when they're angry. If you do that, you're worse than them. Goodness gracious. See, wisdom is peace loving. That's one of the things it says. Is you see, in verse 17 it says, but wisdom is above all, first of all, pure. Second, peaceable. Peaceable. You see, somebody peaceable is somebody that loves peace. If you find yourself in conflicts all the time, I know what you're thinking. Everybody else is the problem. Right? Don't we think that? We start getting into trouble with a few people, we think, so-and-so gets on my nerves. Well, why you let them live under your skin? Why you let them get on your nerves, you know? Maybe you're the problem. Don't you think that you might be getting on their nerves too? You know what I'm talking about. So, in other words, wise people are peacemakers, not troublemakers. Wise people are not always looking for a fight. How many of you love a good fight? You know, it's funny, but You see, like, my wife was on that trip, and she came back, and I missed her. Oh, my God. And, you know, I think it was yesterday morning, we were in the car. And, you know, those car arguments that you get into, the drive arguments, you didn't get one in one argument this morning coming to church? Because those are very common. Coming to church together in one vehicle, that could be an argument right there before you get to church. And then you come in here and you say, God bless you, brother. Amen, hallelujah. And you push your husband away like, there's two sets of stairs, dude. And if you want, take the elevator. You know? But somebody, I went to visit a couple this week and with some troubles. And I mentioned this to them. I said, don't you love it getting into arguments in the car when you go into church? And they looked at each other like, do you ride with us every morning? I said, that's the reason why I come in my car. I left my wife come in hers. We're happy when we come to church. And I'm just kidding, right? But I see families here that come in four different cars from the same household. I guess they're trying to avoid conflict. They're being peaceable. Wow. Anyway, see, you want to know how people love arguments and how people are so antagonist? Look at Facebook. Look at blogs. You put something on there and immediately something's going to come and everybody's going to be like, no like. They don't have that button anymore, or they still don't have it, like dislike. They only have like. That's deceitful. Because you go to Facebook, and most of the people use it for negative stuff more than positive stuff. And you know that. Even Christians. Well, this is a great tool to evangelize. I can reach people through Facebook. Yeah, you can reach into their problems. You can reach into their arguments. You can post stuff without them seeing your face. Well, you can put an emoji right there. And people do that kind of stuff. People love arguments. They love to mix it up with people when it comes to a good fight or a good argument. That's not smart. That's actually dumb, isn't it? Because once you put it on there, it's there. You can't take it back. Wow. It's foolish. The Bible says that wisdom is peace-loving and not provoking anger. So, let's think about a couple of things here, but I'm going to give you a list of three things that you shouldn't do to antagonize people when they're angry. Comparing, condemning, and contradicting. We do that. We do all three C's, right? When people get angry, we like to push their buttons. You like pushing buttons? Ooh, some people are experts, and they love pushing people's buttons. Wow. It doesn't matter how many buttons you see. Don't push them. You see, you have to be careful with this tool. Because it becomes a weapon of mass destruction, actually, when you antagonize people when they're angry and things like that. You know what the Bible calls that? It's foolishness. Because it doesn't get you closer to a resolution. You're not helping the relationship by pushing people's button when they're angry. In fact, you're hurting them and you're hurting yourself. You're hurting the relationship. That's not wise. So if I want to be wise, I should not antagonize the anger of other people. Don't use it as a weapon. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3 says, any fool can start arguments. Keep them away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Any fool will start an argument. But when you try to keep away from an argument, that's honor. You want to talk about bad results or consequences? I was reading, actually, this morning an article of a couple. I think it was in Chicago. It was an old article from 1994. They were driving down the highway with both kids in the back seat, a girl and a boy, mom and dad, driving down the highway. Here comes, in a van, here comes this guy just coming in, tailgating them. I mean, he's right up on them, inches away from their bumper. So the man in the van decided, what is this fool trying to do? And it reminds me of me, because I've done it. You get too close, I'm just going to tap the brake real quick so you see the lights flash on you and think, hey, I need to back off. Right? And my wife says, don't do that! Actually, she looks this way. Don't do that, right? That's dangerous. So that's what he did. So the guy in the other car in the back just kind of backed away, but then he came, and he went up the right lane and came up and cut right in front of him. So the guy in the van said, you know, he swerved, but he said, oh, I'm going to get you. So he went right after him. What he didn't know is that the guy in that Cadillac that just did that to him had stolen it, and he was armed. He went right after him, and when he got a chance, he got right next to him. The guy pulled a gun, pow, shot, went right through the door, right here and out here of his little girl. Now they have to live in pain. Their daughter is half blind in one eye, totally blind in the other, deaf, and has mental, of course, issues now. Think about anger. When people are angry, let them go. Don't start. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't get baited. Don't antagonize people's anger. Now, in relationships, now, of course, those were totally strangers, but in relationships, think about what you do. Comparing. Do not compare them to anyone else. Don't compare people to anyone else. Have you ever done that to anybody? You're just like your mama. You're starting to sound like your daddy. If only you were like, oh my God, go ahead and do that. That's the greatest thing you can do for a relationship. That is, if you want to break it, right? Why can't you be like, oh, you're just like your mother? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, anybody who compares is a fool. It's foolish. It's not wise. Never compare your wife. Never compare your husband, your kids, or your boss, or anyone else, because everybody is unique. Everybody is their own. Comparing antagonizes anger. Now, number two, condemning. Stop condemning people. Stop condemning the people in your life especially. Don't do it. When you start putting these guilt trips, you know, on people in your relationship, you start trying to make people feel guilty, and that's wrong. Trying to make them feel ashamed. That's wrong. You should be ashamed if you're doing that. You should be doing the exact opposite because it's foolish. Comparing, condemning. How about the next one? Contradicting. Oh, some people are specialists at this. Contradicting. You know, I love it. I do this sometimes when like people come up with something and say, well, let me play the devil's advocate. You know? Right? Well, maybe I'm doing it because I'm trying to make the person see the other side of things or trying to reason and trying to compare. But when you're just contradicting because you just love it because it antagonizes the person, it makes them even angrier, then that's a problem. You know what the difference between anger and danger is? One letter. D. When you antagonize people's anger, you start them falling into danger. Danger, danger, danger. Some of you remember that. You're old enough. Think about that, right? It's irritating. When you know you're irritating to others and you do that, don't antagonize them. Please, don't contradict people. A psychologist named William James, famous, he said, wisdom is the art of knowing what to overlook. Sometimes you have to overlook things. Now, be careful. That doesn't mean you overlook sin and you overlook sin and you overlook sin. But sometimes you just have to, you know, deal with my foolishness and deal with my anger and say, just let them steam. Let them, whatever, blow out some steam. Let them, you know. Somebody got angry at me this morning, and I told him, you know, you can't be like that with me for more than 2 hours. You'll be talking to me. And 2 minutes later, guess what? He was talking to me, calling me honey bun. I got it like that. You can't be contradicting people. Don't let them get under your skin like that. Proverbs 14:29 says, a wise man.